drugs for the situation. Shout out to my plug. It's a situation. Going into litigation. All we ask is ventilation. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Supposed to drown, right? When the real holds you down, you're supposed to drown, right? Wait, that don't sound right. Just wait 1 second, that don't sound right. When the real holds you down, you're supposed to drown, right? When the real holds you down, you're supposed to drown, right? Wait, that don't sound right. Just wait 1 second, I don't. I was high.
Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of Missives from the Underground. I am Dee Dee. I go by Dust Daughter on Twitter, and I'm joined by Maria, who goes by @_Roxy_ on Twitter.
Hello.
And we're back from a 1 week hiatus to talk about 2 episodes. Last week's called 28, and this week's called Old Acquaintance. So I'm going to try to run through 28 as fast as I can. Both of these are very, 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 very plot driven. Also very, 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 very violent. So everything I ever said about this not being very violent for a slave drama, I take back. So 28 starts with Daniel, our old friend Daniel. He's been missing from the beginning of a couple of episodes. But he's teaching a group of men how to read, and his daughter is the lookout outside. And the men are, one of the men is just working out a word, the word make, when the cabin that they're in is surrounded by white men with torches and other implements of violence. And they start beating up the group of men. So Daniel tells his daughter to run and don't look back. Which is good because she doesn't see him being beaten along with the other men. We next go to Cato, who's being beaten by Patty Cannon's men. She also tortures him in other ways and shaves his head and his eyebrows. Then she sits him down and they talk about making a deal. And she hints that she plans to use Devi, his girl, as leverage to get Cato to do what she wants. Mm-hmm. Then.
Well, interestingly, they talk about Devi, and not being black, but they're like, she's dark enough.
Yeah. Because Patty Cannon, as much as Cato ain't shit, Patty Cannon is worse. After we see the name of the show, Underground, Noah catches up with Frog Jack from the Macon Plantation. He and Rosalie point a shotgun at him. Well, Rosalie does most of the shotgun pointing. And they use Frog Jack to get back into the Macon Plantation. Then we go to South Carolina to the Roe Plantation, and Clara is dressing in a fine white dress. And as she's getting dressed, she's at the big house with Matthew. But back in the slaves' quarters, overseers are raiding everybody's place, looking for drugs. They say that Matthew has mandated severe punishment for anybody that has the devil's blood on them or in their place. Back at the big house, Clara and Matthew have sex, which, you know, you always have to say, it's never consensual between someone who claims to, who actually at that time owned the person that they're having sex with. So I say having sex, but it's really rape.
And we see afterwards that she's like, it wasn't
even good, because the whole time that she's having sex with Matthew, she's looking at her own reflection in the mirror. And when they finish having sex, she turns over, looks into another mirror, and starts, you know, feeling herself, which, you know, just, yeah. So Matthew's not that good. And also, you know, it's just the obvious, obvious way to show everybody that she is actually feeling herself, not just literally, but in the Nicki Minaj sense. So, back at the slave quarters, they find Hicks's stash of the devil's blood, and they beat him up and they throw him in the river. And then they put this weird contraption on his head that looks like some medieval torture device, and it's gross. These folks are the real savages, not any of the enslaved people. Mm-hmm. Back at Cato's place, Patty proposes, is outside shooting clay pigeons and proposing a new deal with local law enforcement. She wants to collect $3 out of every 10 that's made from kidnapping freed men and putting them back into slavery. I hate this bitch so much. Mm-hmm. Then
just what Harriet talked about with the Fugitive Slave Act, so she's taking advantage of it.
She really is. Then she brings Cato out and plays another mind game with him. While Cato was walking out, she mentions to those law enforcement people that it doesn't matter what kind of brown Cato's girl Devi is, someone will put her pretty red lips to use.
Mm-hmm.
So much for sisterhood. I can't say it enough. Petty Cannon ain't shit. I hate her so much. Oh, when will she die? So Cato comes out. Patty Cannon gives Cato a shotgun and tells him to shoot at the clay pigeons. Of course, we've seen a scene like this before when Tom Macon gave Sam, Ernestine's son, a gun. And Sam was tempted as hell to use it on Tom. But he didn't. However, Cato has no hesitation. He as soon as he gets a good hold on the shotgun, he turns it in Patty Cannon's direction, but she has the bullets in her hand. And she says some terrible things about black people not being smart, and laughs at him.
Yeah. Guys, you've always got to check your rounds.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Rose and Noah are at the plantation. They're trying to devise a plan to get James and Ernestine from the big house. Noah tries to touch Rosalie, but she starts flinching away from him because she still doesn't want to give away the fact that she is pregnant.
How does he not know? I don't understand.
It was probably his first time. I guess he's not really thinking that much about.
Yeah, but I mean, you see her, she looks different. he's had to have touched her before. I mean, they've been on the road, right? And then they were in the house. He hasn't touched her at all?
I don't. Yeah, maybe she flinched. Maybe this isn't the first time she's flinched from him. I don't know. Anyways, Rose and Noah are in the cornfields hiding and looking out when they see Sarah come out of the big house, and she has Ernestine's keys on her hip. So Rose wants to go talk to her and figure out what's going on, but Noah tells her to wait. He says they only have one chance to do this, and they can't afford to waste it, so they have to pick the right time. Clara, back in South Carolina, walks up to...
I'm sorry, but they're also surprised to see her because they're expecting it to be Ernestine.
Right. So, Clara walks up to Ernestine's quarters in her white gown, and Ernestine tells Clara that the overseers haven't looked her way since that mandate came down. Clara tells Ernestine to make her a poison for Hicks. She said she wants Hicks dead, just like her baby. Mm-hmm. Now Ernestine tries to talk her out of it. She says that killing someone is a dark place that she doesn't want to be in, and she says that from experience, but Clara doesn't, she won't listen. She said Clara convinced Matthew to arrange for Ernestine to work on the mainland. So basically she's saying, Ernestine, if you want your freedom, you better make me this poison to kill Hicks. And back on Macon Plantation, Rose is standing around and pacing in the cabin waiting for Noah. She's talking to her baby. She tells the baby that even though this is the baby's grandfather's land, that the baby will never know this life. She says, me and your pappy are going to make sure of that. And Noah brings back Cora, who's not working in the big house anymore. She's working in the fields. Noah says that Cora knows where Ernestine is. Cora tells them that Ernestine is gone. That Susanna sold Ernestine off after Tom Macon died. Mm-hmm. So Noah says that Cora's gonna have to come with them off of the plantation in return for the information that Rose and Noah need to get James. But Rose wants to find out where Ernestine was sold, so she remembers that Tom Macon had a book that he kept in his desk. But Cora says that book isn't in his desk anymore. It's in Bill, the overseer's desk. And that's when Rose is like, oh, he's still alive? Because Rose thought that she killed him back in season one. Cora also tells them that James isn't working in the fields anymore. He's in the big house. After Susanna sold Ernestine, Susanna took James back in the big house and treated James as if he were her own son, and also turning him against his actual family. So back where Cato is, he's at a bathhouse, it looks like, talking to another freedman. The freedman gets suspicious and starts fighting Cato, but Cato wins. And this freedman becomes the first kidnappee for Cato's deal with Patty Cannon.
For 30 seconds.
Well, yeah, it was supposed to be 30 for Cato and 30 for Devi, but we'll see how that number changes later on in the recap. The Freedman insists that, he's got his papers and they can't do this to him, but Cato locks him up in a wagon and says, ain't none of us free. So this is so extremely fucked up, Cato. I just Anyway, back at the Macon plantation, Cora, Noah, and Rose devise a new plan to get James and also to find out where Ernestine was sold to, basically to get the book. Then back in South Carolina, there's a party going on outside of Matthew's house. All the enslaved people are dancing and playing music on traditional African instruments.
It's Christmas.
They have very colorful scraps of clothing on, and they collect coins from Matthew. Clara's standing right beside Matthew as if she's the mistress of the house, but out of the corner of her eye, she sees her father on the other side of the clearing, and she goes to talk with him, and they start arguing because her father accuses her of having a baby with the Bukra, which is what they call Matthew and other white people. And she says, all these times you always wanted to know who the father was. You never asked anything about me. You never cared about anything about me. But they continue to argue, and Ernestine walks up to Matthew and urges him to convince Clara not to go through with some bad things that she's intending to do. She keeps it vague, but she basically puts a bug in Matthew's ear to try to get through to Clara because Clara's not listening to her. And back to Macon and
And Clara now thinks she's, HBSE.
yeah, she wow. She got a big head really quick.
Real quick.
Back at Macon Plantation, Rose and Noah are pacing and waiting. Noah is really anxious as he walks about the cabin that they're hiding in. And Rose talks about how she hates waiting. She did a lot of waiting with Harriet, and that's when all the doubts creep up on her. Then Rose gives Noah a watch for a Christmas present, and it's a sweet little moment, but it's brief. Clara, back in South Carolina, Clara sends for Ernestine up at the big house. She's still in that white gown, and she's just acting like she's queen of the palace. She gives Ernestine a drink, and they're just sitting down, and she's babbling about all these things that have no interest to Ernestine.
And she at some point tells her that she'll be mistress of the house one day, which, like, what?
Ernestine goes along with it, but finally, when Clara finally stops talking for a minute, Ernestine says, this isn't freedom, even though it may feel like it, which is kind of reminds me of what Harriet Tubman was talking about in the last episode, when she was talking about all those little rebellions that felt like freedom, but they weren't really freedom. So, Ernestine says nothing good comes from their world, even if you're sitting at the top of it. And she finishes the drink that Clara gave to her,
And Claire is just
and
taunting her.
yeah Yeah, Clara really thinks that she's got Ernestine over a barrel. She thinks that she slipped whatever poison Ernestine so-called gave Clara. She obviously put some in Ernestine's drink, but then this is when we find out Ernestine never gave her anything lethal as poison. And
Give her lethal
Ernestine,
powers time.
basically, she Ernestine stands up and she tells Clara, "You owed blood, but you can't have mine." And she walks out, and I'm like, Clara thought. I'm like, bitch, you thought.
She's the one who
You don't
taught you.
understand.
How do you think you're gonna
Basically,
get over?
she really thought she could surpass the teacher. No. Ernestine's like, no, I'm the number one boss bitch in this piece. Back with Cato, Patty's men throw Devi into the tent where Cato is staying. Devi wants to know what's going on, so Cato tells her about the deal he made with Patty to keep from putting Devi into slavery. The deal is that he would kidnap 30 free men to ensure Devi's freedom, and 30 free men for himself. So Devi is like not on board with this at all. She says, she basically says, "I don't want you doing this just to keep me free. I don't want you putting 30 men in slavery to keep me free." And Cato's like, "You don't understand. You don't know what this is like." And then she says, all this time she's been wondering why Cato left her in England. She says this country is his excuse. It's the reason that he needed to do the but to what do all the bad things he's done. She calls him a bad man, and tears start welling up into Cato's eyes. So back at in Macon, Noah looks for the book in Bill's house, and Bill is what Cora calls a messy drunk. So he's drinking it up, and he falls into bed drunk as hell. And Noah's hiding under the bed when Bill finally goes to sleep. Rose went to the big house to get James, but when James recognizes her, he shouts for help. And then there's a big bell in the big house that rings and wakes Bill up. So back with Cato, he lets Patty's men take Devi and lock her in a wagon like he locked that freedman earlier in the episode. He tells Patty that the deal's changed. It's not he's not doing 60 anymore. So this doesn't make it 58. It makes it 28. Because obviously, if he's going to sell out Devi, he doesn't have to work for her freedom anymore.
Oh wow.
So now he's just working for his.
Okay. I didn't
Cato
catch that. I was like, what?
ain't
Yeah, I couldn't
shit.
figure it out. Yeah, but now, you know what?
Yep,
That's what I expected
because
him to do anyway.
he ain't shit. So back in South Carolina, Clara is.
Bluffing?
No.
I think he's bluffing.
I don't. Well, judging from the next episode, I don't see it, but back in South Carolina, Clara is in bed with Matthew talking basically talking shit about Ernestine. She calls Ernestine sneaky and a liar, and she tells Matthew that Ernestine is planning to run. Ooh, I used to like Clara. I don't anymore.
Okay. She got a little bit of power, and now she thinks she just rules everything. What?
It's gone to her head so bad. Mm. She tells Matthew that if he loves her, he will punish Ernestine. Ooh. Meanwhile, Ernestine is making her way to the mainland to work, but really to escape. And Clara is stomping her way in her white gown to Ernestine's quarters, only to find that she's gone. Ernestine doesn't really get to step 2 feet onto the mainland before she runs into goddamn August.
I mean, it's right.
I'm like, such bullshit. Like I said, back in Macon, there's a bell ringing from the big house, and it wakes Bill out of his drunken stupor in bed. So he goes and sees where his men have taken Rosalie captive, and I guess they brought her from the big house to him. And he walks around, you know, just monologuing for a bit, talking about he's been waiting for this moment and all this bullshit. Meanwhile, Noah slips out from under the bed, and he has a gun with him, and he can see through the slats in the wall, the wooden wall, that Rose is sitting there with Bill and all his men around him. Around her. And he comes to her and he has a brand in his hand and he's about to brand her face. But she says, "Wait, I'm carrying a child." And that is how Noah hears that he's about to be a father. Because he's in the next room.
Yeah, he's outside looking in.
No, he's in the other room. He's in the other room. He has a gun. He can see a little bit. And this is where Bill, just proves that he's just another savage. And he says he doesn't give a damn. And he brands her anyway. And we hear her screams and... cut to black in credits. So that's 28. No, wow, I did it in 28 minutes. Now we'll move on to this week's episode, Old Acquaintance. Mm-hmm. I don't know, do you want to start that one off or...
Sure, we can do that. I wasn't quite sure how we were.
Okay.
This week because of last week, but
I can start it off. There's a this new episode starts with Daniel. He's trying to work on a piece of marble. It looks like he's trying to carve some letters in it.
Right. And Old Lady Di is playing in the background because it's the new year now, which is why it's also part of the title. It's not old, but old, A-U-L-D.
Right. So we're basically looking at his hands and him trying to work with the marble. And then the camera pans up and you see his face. And his eyes are very red, and all the skin around his eyes has been burnt off. Mm-hmm. He can't, and you realize that as he fumbles around with the tools, that he cannot see, and he can barely work. Still trying.
Right, I don't understand why they can even have him out there, or how he's done the work that he has done so far.
Because slavery is this American chattel slavery is brutal and inhumane and savage. And yeah, they didn't want him knowing how to read or teaching anybody else how to read. So they burned his eyes.
But you know,
oh god,
some marble. It's this episode was very specifically chosen for every scene. Like the actual lyrics go with each scene.
Yeah.
But that was really disturbing, and we still don't know how Daniel fits in with the rest of our crew here.
Still don't. We have, what, 2 or 3 episodes left? Mm-hmm. 2. Now, because this is episode 8. Cato wakes up Patty Cannon in the middle of the night. He has Donahue's book that he's writing on her. And she starts reading it and throws the book back at Cato. It seems that Donahue doubts whether Patty can find and capture Harriet Tubman. So, Cato...
I don't really understand why she's so upset about it when he told her this was going to be his pitch in the first place.
I don't know. I guess she just figures that, you know, he's white, that he'll back her up, but... she hasn't noticed that Donahue's been shading her from day one.
Day one.
So she's not as smart as she thinks she is. Cato gives her a few pointers on how to capture Tubman. He actually tells her about the drinking gourd song that serves as a map of all the safe houses along the Underground Railroad. And Cato even sings the song to her, and as he sings it, the show's credits start rolling like they did in season 1. But instead of hearing Alice Smith sing Heaven's Door, we hear Alano Miller sing it. It's a lot different. But it was cool to see the old season 1 show theme again.
Yeah.
We go back to
creepy. It's me.
It was. I'm like, Cato, you really selling out this much? Oh god.
I have to believe he's bluffing, because he was just putting on white face shows.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think he feels like he has anything to fight for anymore. So might as well just be his worst possible self, which is really fucking bad.
Yeah, that's true.
But back at Macon, we see little James getting dressed in his suit. He walks into the next room because he hears some pained sounds, and he sees Sarah trying to string Rose into a corset, baby belly and all, because Susanna, which me and Enda prefer to call that bitch, wants Rose to work right away. They've got her back on the plantation, so they want to put her back to work.
Right.
When she's pregnant as hell.
So much, so they put her in a corset. Now, they did have corsets for pregnant women, but I don't know if that was one of them.
It wasn't. That bitch ain't trying to be lenient and accommodate her property. She sees Rose and her baby as property. Mm-hmm. Anyways, James sees Rosalie struggling. Rosalie turns around and sees him, and you can see the little R branded into her cheek. It still hasn't healed. But she gives him the wickedest side eye, and even though he's a little baby, he deserves it.
I mean, he is just a child. Like, he is just a child. So everything, you know, he can't really think of gray areas, right? And things like consequences aren't kind of a thing he can really think about. His brain just isn't developed that far. It is still angering, you know, what he has done and what he
And
will
what he's
do.
allowed other people to do to his family, to his sister. That bitch calls James downstairs. And that's the end of that scene in Megan. Back with Ernestine, she's sitting on a boat, a tiny little boat with August and one of Patty's men. I think
Yeah,
it's the
his name
one
is
that
Smoke.
Patty likes to sleep with.
Yeah.
His what? His name is what?
Smoke.
Snoke. Okay.
Smoke. Smoke.
Smoke. Okay.
Thank you.
So Smoke wants to she he wants them to get back on land because he feels like they're sitting ducks on the water. August
I
keeps
guess
rowing
they're
the boat.
running from the people from the plantation that she was on. Because
I don't know
I'm not
exactly
really sure.
what who they're. All I know is that Smoke keeps calling them the Rollers.
Yeah, I'm
So
not sure what that means.
August tells him to be quiet as he's rowing the boat, and but Smoke keeps on talking, and that's how Ernestine finds out that Patty Cannon it wants to use Ernestine to get to Rosalie. So we finally go back to Philadelphia, and Elizabeth returns from Harriet's speech to Georgia's boarding house. Georgia is outside the house selling baked goods and whatnot that were made without the use of slave labor, but nobody is interested in buying at the prices that she needs them to buy them at.
And she's selling them because they're having a hard time getting boarders in the house because everybody in town's freaking out she's not white.
Right. And everybody's also giving her the cold shoulder. They're either ignoring her outright or just, you know,
Just being
treating her like the
like,
help.
right.
So Georgia greets Elizabeth very warmly. And says that Harriet is inside the boarding house waiting for the money for Noah and Rose's return trip.
And Elizabeth, this episode actually did not get on my nerves at all.
Oh, wow. That's makes one of us. She says she said Georgia says that there have been rumors about her going around town. And everybody's, you know, side-eyeing her and just looking at her any kind of way. And just if Elizabeth wasn't clear what was going on with Georgia, this other bitch called Lainey steps right up to Elizabeth and almost pushes Georgia out of the way as if she wasn't even standing right there. So she's talking to Elizabeth and they're catching up. She's like, "Oh, blah 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 blah. I was in India, you know, there's such a rich culture there. We were overwhelmed, all that's blah blah blah."
And
And then
Elizabeth actually introduces Georgia to her. And Lainey just looks at her and continues talking to Elizabeth.
exactly. And then she has the nerve to hit Elizabeth with this gem. "If there's anyone that can identify with the plight of the slave, it's us women." And she looks directly at Elizabeth as if Georgia isn't a woman, standing right fucking there.
Right, Georgia's not a part of this conversation.
If that wasn't white feminism, I'll eat my hat.
100%, right?
I don't have a hat. But
I will get one and eat it.
no. Yeah, it was just,
And
I already
see, Elizabeth
instantly
started
hate
out.
that bitch.
Yes, she was made to hate. But I mean, you know, when George is selling these goods, Elizabeth is there saying, hey, I'll buy all of these. So I was like, okay, put your money where your mouth is. I like that. That's nice.
Yeah, she also invites Lainey to buy some. And Lainey's like, I can only buy what my husband, gives me permission to buy. and all this other bullshit. She wasn't ever going to open up her purse for Georgia anyway. Back to Macon, where Cora finally meets them back at the cabin where they were hiding after everything's gone to hell, because they were supposed to meet with Cora a while ago to figure out what to do about James in the big house. So Noah blames Cora for telling on Rosalie, but Cora says that James did that. So Noah devises.
Noah is very angry. He's basically choking Cora while he's asking these questions.
Yeah, he's mad for a lot of reasons. He's partly mad at Rosalie. He's mad that the plan went to hell. Mm-hmm. He's mad that James narked. He's mad, big mad. So Noah has to devise a new plan to take control of the big house by taking control of that bitch in order to get Rosalie back. Yeah, yes, I will call her this whole episode. I will do that.
If you have control of her, then you'll have control of the whole plantation.
Mm-hmm. And he says he's going to need somebody that works inside the house to help him do that. So, speaking of, we go inside the house, and James and TR are opening Christmas presents while that bitch plays the piano and sings carols in the background. That bitch tells James
Before even that, her son, is sitting on the couch, right, in front of the Christmas tree.
Right.
And he orders another enslaved woman who's in the room to bring him his Christmas presents. He doesn't even get up to get his own Christmas presents.
He's a terrible, privileged white boy. meanwhile, James pulls out some equipment that I guess is going to go for his pony.
The saddle, yeah.
Yeah, and, she... And TR, this is news to him. This is news to TR. So Susanna, that bitch, tells TR that James gets a pony because he's been a good boy, while TR has ruined all his good clothes rolling around in the dirt.
Like a nigger.
Yeah. I hate that bitch. I can't wait for her to die too. Her and Patty Cannon, two for one. So Rosalie comes in at that moment, and she's just standing there in her dress that is way too small for her pregnant body. Mm-hmm. And she is staring daggers at James.
I mean, if looks could kill.
That little boy would be gone. He feels it even when he can't see her. Because you can see him like turn around. Right. And then he'll go back to the saddle. Then he'll feel the eyes on her, and he'll look back around. And so that bitch sees what's going
on. I'm sorry. I was thinking about James's behavior, right, during last episode and this, and how it's so reminiscent of many black men who act the same way when it comes to
grown men.
Whiteness, especially when it comes to centering female whiteness. And I'm just like, I can't really blame this little boy for that. He's a little boy. He's just, he's thinking, this is great. I'm having a good time. I'm being cared for. I'm in a house. I'm eating real food. I don't have to work. He's, he's a kid. He doesn't really know too much what he's doing so much. So that just means that these grown men are acting like children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
They've been coddled and enabled for all their lives. And when somebody calls them out and doesn't treat them like the people that have been coddling them and enabling them, that's when they lash out. And we see it all the time on Twitter.
Right. He's centering this whiteness, this female whiteness, while blaming his black sister for everything.
That has, yeah. So that bitch slaps another house girl twice because she sees the daggers that Rosalie is staring at James and wants to, you know, break all of that up. Then she tells Rosalie to know her place and go back to the cookhouse. She also tells Rosalie to get something to eat while she's in there so that her property stays nice and healthy, and she looks down at Rosalie's belly. So, yes, she considers Rosalie, a grown-ass woman, and Rosalie's child to be her property.
And technically, legally, anyway, she is, because children of enslaved women always inherit the mother status. So it doesn't matter who the father was. If the mother is enslaved, the child will be also, which is how a lot of slave owners created more property for themselves.
I want to throw up. Okay. In Philadelphia, Elizabeth complains to Harriet about being tired of making good people do the right thing. Because she's having a hard time collecting money for Rosalie's and Noah's return fare and just to keep the boarding house going. Harriet tells a story about sitting in one abolitionist's office day and night trying to get $20 for one of her missions. He refused to give it to her. But other people saw her sitting in the office day and night and gave her the money that she needed and more. So Harriet ends up encouraging Elizabeth to pray. And we'll see later that this is kind of code. Because Elizabeth says that, you know, she's not sure what her part in the cause is. And this is the moment in the episode where I got really annoyed at Elizabeth, because you're really bringing your petty problems to Harriet fucking Tubman. And she's sitting there actually holding your hand and walking you through, like, actually doing something for the cause. I don't know. I'm just over Elizabeth. I always will be. So
she gets a little better than she used to be with each episode, it seems.
To you.
Yeah, I mean, because she starts putting more things on the line for the cause. Even if she's not sure, like, oh, I don't know what my place is. And you know what? I'm kind of okay with her asking that, because your place is not to center yourself.
But
although, even, you know, I'm not sure if, like, she could pick up a book during this time or anything. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, all this time that she's been with Georgia, she never asked Georgia. She never talked about it with Georgia. I just don't feel like you should waste Harriet Tubman's time with this stuff.
Harriet Tubman has shit to do. I understand. She's got people.
I mean, that's just my thing.
No, I don't disagree.
Anyway, back in Macon, Cora and Noah and a few of the exceptional Negroes that Susanna has invited up to the big house for dinner.
Exceptional niggas.
Yeah. she's continuing a tradition that Tom had, where she would bring those folks up for dinner. So Cora and Noah are like behind this fence, you know, basically profiling them, scoping them out, trying to see which one of them will be their inside man. And they start, you know, talking about a few of those folks. And one of them just happens to be Josiah Bell, who happens to be Journey Smollett Bell's husband.
Oh.
So, and they actually named the character Josiah, too. So we wouldn't miss him.
I totally missed it.
It was short. He was like playing a fiddle. And he looked up, and then they moved on to another person. Noah says that if they pick the wrong person, then the plan to get out is over. So Cora asks, I don't know if she's asking Noah or if it was just a rhetorical question. She asks, who can you trust if you can't trust family?
Mm-hmm.
We cut to Ernestine, still on the boat with August and Smoke. And she picks a moment when they're both distracted and jumps out of the boat. But she can't swim. She still manages to get to shore somehow, and Smoke catches her on the shore and finds one of the vials of devil's blood.
Mm-hmm.
He gets mad and he throws it at August and says that both of them have a vice because August has been pulling on a flask of brown liquor all the while he's been rowing the boat. Smoke says that the rollers are close to them, and then they start shooting at them. So they can't go back in the boat. They have to find some place on shore. Back in Macon, James is feeding his horse, and then he hears someone in the clearing, and it's Noah. And Noah says that since Rosalie is pregnant and having his baby, that makes he and James family.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's going to protect his family no matter what. And James counters that that bitch and TR are his family. You know, they took care of him, but Noah says... Rose is your real family. She's the one that took those lashes for you. Remember when he ran in front of that wagon and Susanna ordered somebody to be punished for this, and it wasn't going to be James. So Rosalie stepped up and took those lashes on her arms
right for
him.
Although you kind of imagine how James, you know, again, he's a child, how he must be feeling. His mother's been sold away. His sister's run off. His other brother was hung. So here comes, you know, Mrs. You know, treating him like her own son.
But it's so fake. That bitch is so fake. Okay, back in Macon, James is feeding his horse, but he hears someone in the clearing, and it's Noah. Noah says that Rosalie having his baby makes he and James family, and he's going to protect his family no matter what. And he asks James if he's a part of this family or not. And we go back to the boarding house, and Georgia, Harriet, and Elizabeth are working on a plan to distract this congregation of a pro-slavery church. That's some new stuff. And they figure out that the best way to do this is to empty out a bag full of snakes. Oh, Lord.
Which, who was tasked with catching those snakes?
I don't want to know. Ooh, I hope it was Elizabeth. Anyways, everybody runs out of the church and they steal this whole big box full of collection offerings. The preacher chases them out of the church and calling them sinners. But Georgia is standing outside calmly loading bullets into her shotgun. And she tells the preacher, be quiet, or she will show him a real sinner.
Yes, because he runs out of the church screaming, thieves, sinners. And she says, be quiet, turn around, or I will show you a real sinner.
And she was so calm with it, too. She was so smooth with it. It was so good.
I love it.
So Harriet tells him, ain't nothing wrong with a little sin for the greater good. Ernestine, August, and Smoke are walking through swamp water. Ernestine tries to get August talking about his son, but he won't talk. He asks about Ernestine's two sons, and she won't answer that. And as they're walking, Smoke discovers that Ernestine's been tearing off parts of her clothing, just scraps, to leave a trail for the rollers to find him. And she admits that, yes, she has been doing that. She jumped out of the boat for a reason, because she knows that the rollers won't be coming for her kid. So she'd rather be found by them. But unfortunately, August has been picking up all the scraps, so there's no trail. So Rosalie's dusting in some room of the big house in Macon.
Office.
Yeah, and TR comes in and says, you know, she's not supposed to be in this room. And he's about to tell on her when the house girl that Susanna slapped comes in.
No, Sorry, go ahead.
And James says he's going to, you know, he's raring to slap her again. He raises his hand to do so, but Rosalie grabs him by the wrist and says, you know, if you're going to slap somebody, slap me.
Rosalie's had too much freedom.
She ain't down with the bullshit no more. She ain't. TR says he's going to get Rosalie whipped for even touching him. But then James walks in and tells TR to stop. He also tells the other house girl to go, and she does so with a curtsy and actually calls him Massa James.
Yes, and she's just having the worst day. That's poor.
Yeah.
Girl.
He also tells TR to go and leave, you know, him alone with Rosalie. So then they talk, and James asks Rosalie why she's back, and she tells him that she wants to, you know, take him away. But he says that he saw Noah, and Noah told James that he's coming back for Rosalie, and James says that he's not going to tell, but that he wants to stay. He says this is his family now.
Mm-hmm. He says everything was better before she left. He was happy. And then, you know, she left. Mom got sold away. His brother got hung. So this is his family now.
Oh, God. So around the campfire, Ernestine and August talk about their sons, and he shares his liquor, and that's about it.
Well, she talks about, you know, how Sam had been hung, and now James is in the big house, and she wonders who she failed more.
Because Sam was her favorite, even though he didn't know it. But by the time she had James, she was angry, and her heart was more closed up. Back in the boarding house, Elizabeth has comes down to dinner with Harriet and Georgia and all the boarders. When she sits down to eat, she hears that ringing in her ears.
Okay.
And I guess it signals that, you know, there's about to be some violence in the rest of the episode. And that much is true.
I was wondering if that, if we're hearing that, if she's hearing that.
I mean, she was looking around like she heard, like, something weird was going on. Back with Ernestine, she tries to escape, but, Smoke...
escape this episode. Like, she's not trying to be taken.
No. But Smoke finds her and beats her up pretty bad, dislocates her arm. August kills Smoke and then gives Ernestine back some of the devil's blood. So she can use it as an anesthetic because it's going to hurt when he, you know, relocates her shoulder and her arm. Then we go back to the Macon plantation for some more violence because Bill walks into his house and finds Noah sitting there. And Noah tells Bill that he's not leaving this plantation while Bill is still breathing. So he and Bill fight. Noah takes Bill down, takes the belt off of his pants, off of Bill's pants, and uses it to choke him to death. Then he spits on him and leaves. But I'm still wondering, is Bill really dead?
Bill's got to be dead.
He's got, no, he be having 9 lives in this fucking show, so... He needs to stay dead this time. But I guess it doesn't matter, if, judging from the end of this episode. Back in Philadelphia, Elizabeth knocks on Lainey's door and basically blackmails her. Says that, you know, she's heard rumors about Lainey sleeping with every Tom, Dick, and Harry that ain't her husband. And she has no problems telling Lainey's husband about it. Unless, Lainey puts 5 on it. Or 500. Or some of her pearls.
Whatever money or jewels or that you have. And I'll be back next month.
So, that's how she gets, Lainey to, run them jewels and that money.
You know, Lainey put on this facade about caring about, enslaved people. And, you know, Elizabeth tells her, your words are as empty as this box, which I need you to fill up.
Yep. Then she hits her with this fake ass smile, and I was like, and "Okay, that's cute, Elizabeth."
This is why she didn't annoy me this episode.
I'll give her half a point for it. It was cute.
She bought all the big goods, and she went and confronted Lainey when no one else was around.
Yeah, well, do what you got to do. Get that money.
Call out your friends, white allies.
Yeah. Blackmail your friends. Extort them if you have to.
Extort them for justice?
Why that? Extort for justice. Yeah. You got to put on a t-shirt. So, back in Macon at the big house, Susanna's sitting down with all her exceptional Negroes. And she's given this speech of bullshit.
We come together to celebrate all the hard work we have all done together throughout the year.
You haven't done shit.
No.
And you can see all around, they pan the table, and you can see one of them's grabbing the knife, about to, shit's they because they get all feel tense because they feel like some shit's about to go down. Mm-hmm. And any one of them is ready. Any one of these folks is about that life and ready to do to scrap. So,
all the work we did together. What?
He did shit. Noah decides that he's not going to pick any inside man. He decides he's going to be his own inside man. So he comes barging in through to the dinner with a gun, puts it to Susanna's head, tells Rose to get James. James refuses to leave, so Rose just hits him upside the head with a serving tray.
Yep.
And pulls him over her shoulder. So when they get outside and they're just about to get into the wagon when TR cocks his shotgun. Who the hell gave him a shotgun and taught him how to use it?
It's probably his father. Yeah.
Tom didn't get to shoot him, didn't get to teach him very well. Because Noah shoots TR in the knee and TR misfires, hitting his own mother in the shoulder.
Right.
That's
amazing.
That bitch, tells them that wherever they run, her catchers will find them and drag them back. But Rosalie says there won't be any place left for the catchers to drag them back to. And she takes the lantern that's in her hand and throws it into the window of the big house and basically sets the big house on fire.
Mm-hmm. See, what she had been doing in the office was cleaning the kerosene lamp. She turned the gas on high and shut the door. So it filled up with all this gas. So that's why when she throws it inside, everything just explodes.
I love it when a plan comes together.
That was a real problem with those lamps, too. Like, early electricity was really, really unstable, and you could actually have an explosion if the gas was too high.
Ooh. So Noah and Rose jump into the wagon, and I assume James is lying there in the back of the wagon, unconscious somewhere.
Right?
And Rose turns to look at Noah and smile because, you know, they made it. They succeeded. But Noah isn't having it. He's still really grumpy. They really need to talk. they got some shit to work out.
Yeah.
Then we go back to the boarding house for the last scene. And Georgia is really excited. She tells Elizabeth that they have cargo, new cargo, and says that this person is really jumpy. And Georgia opens the door to basically Cato pretending to be a runaway looking for a safe house. Mm-hmm. Says a friend of a friend.
Cato had been talking to redhead bounty hunter lady about
Petty Cannon,
that's right. Petty Cannon or Patty Cannon? About, you know, you need to stop trying to go after Rosalie and just go ahead and go for Harriet. You know, what are you pussyfooting around for? And so this was his plan.
Yeah, this is one of the safe houses along the Underground Railroad. So he says he's looking around and he's trying to look all, I don't know what he's trying to look like, but his eyes are just roaming all around the place.
Innocent.
Okay. Yeah. He's like a friend of a friend brought me here or told me about this place.
Right.
And we're the only ones that know he ain't up to no good. So. And cut to black. End of show. Oh, this could not end well.
Especially
because Rose and Noah are on their way back up. And I don't know where Harriet is. Is Harriet still in the house? Who knows?
Well, we do see that she does get to talk to Kato next episode.
I haven't seen him. Oh, any yeah. of the. Oh, so my that. God. This is not good. I swear, if Kato gives up Harriet Tubman on this show, he will be on my shit list forever.
No, that won't happen.
It better not. It better don't. So, yeah, these two episodes were jam-packed with plot. And when we, I guess, to make up for the hour-long Harriet episode.
Right. Although I'm still wondering, the whole thing with Elizabeth and the men in the woods. Like, so I guess they just got back on the horse and kept going.
Yeah, the proto clan? I don't know. Maybe they'll come back later.
Yeah.
Or those, I'm wondering if those are the same bounty hunters that raided the boarding house.
Oh, maybe it's quite possible. Yeah, I mean, that would make sense to me. That would be how they would figure out about what Elizabeth has been doing and stuff.
Yeah, so I wonder what they are doing now.
Right, because what kind of good white lady is hanging out with that, Georgia? I think she's
past. That Negro.
That Negress, right?
Anything you want to... Well, you already said that Harriet and Kato are going to meet, which is funny because a few episodes ago, Frederick Douglass, as played by the legendary John Stevens. was saying to somebody that, he was saying to William Still that, oh, we need to get Kato in a room with Harriet.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't expecting it to be like this, but
nobody could have seen this coming.
Oh my God. Kato? So there you go. We've recapped two episodes of Underground for your listening pleasure. Please send us feedback at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at DustDaughter and @_Roxy_.
That's right.
Or leave us a review on iTunes. You can find this podcast the same place as Black Girl Squee and Ratchet Research. It's all on the same feed. So we'd love to hear your feedback. And until next time, bye.
Stay free.